We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Who the heck is Mel Kiper? Oh, sorry. What's up, guys?
Draft week. Sorry. It's in the blood, man. It's in the blood.
I knew something draft was coming today, man. Brian's fired up about the draft, everybody.
Welcome back to the Irish Breakdown Podcast, folks. You are in the right show. I'm just joking. I hope that we can take a joke on a wonderful Monday morning for a Monday mailbag. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I know Blue Gold weekend, and that means the end of spring practice. But that means that we now get to talk for several weeks about what the heck is 2024 season going to bring. Of course, I'm joined by Brian Driscoll, publisher here at IrishBreakdown.com. This is your show, folks. Throw as many mailbag questions in as you would like. Super chats always get to the front of the line. So if you throw in a super chat, you will get that question answered as soon as the next question is available.
As soon as we see it. Yeah, sometimes exactly. It's also I got to see it first, and I don't always see them right away. So, yeah. Lots to talk about today, Ryan. We got the Blue Gold game just happened on Saturday. So, you know, I know I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. If people want to ask about that, recruiting is never, there's never any recruiting dead periods anymore, if we're being honest. The NFL draft is coming up this week. I've seen
transfer portal craziness.
I've seen seven to eight guys for Notre Dame projected to get drafted. I saw Jordan Reed had Javonte Jean-Baptiste in round five of his mock draft today. Yeah. And he dropped Cam Hart down to round three, which I was a little bummed by. He had him in round two last time. So
I know he actually just came on the NFL draft podcast and he has a second round grade on Cam Hart. So I know he's a big fan of him.
Well, my impression is that he's doing what you say guys do with mock drafts, which is trying to go off what kind of he's hearing and maybe what some other people think, but a lot going on, man. Thursday night, obviously the NFL draft starts Thursday night. Oh, that'll be round one. Friday will be rounds two and three, and then Saturday will be rounds four through seven. So we're going to hear some Notre Dame guys' names called. I think that they're going to separate themselves a little bit from USC this year because I don't know that USC has a ton of guys in the draft this year. I know they got a couple receivers, a running back, a quarterback, maybe one of their, maybe Eric Gentry, maybe, you know,
safety.
Yeah. So Notre Dame might get a little bit of separation, you know, by a couple spots between the old Trojans, who are, I think, three behind Notre Dame all time. Notre Dame is still number one in all time draft pick. So we're, you know, and then, hey, big news today. D-Rock saw it. I decommitted from the Denver Broncos. Biggest news of the day. I've always wanted to put out one of those tweets, Ryan, you know, today I got my chance. So I'm officially. Well,
were you a full member of the team, though, or were you just committed? Because this could be a transfer portal versus recruiting conversation here.
I'm not in the portal. I'm a free agent. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about the NFL now, right? So
professional.
I have decommitted from my fandom of the Broncos. I had 40 great years as a Broncos fan, but the organization's been a mess for a while. And when they released those hideous uniforms today, I was like, okay, I'm done.
Well, you can be a Bears fan like Vince and Sean now, I guess.
Yeah, but so. I don't want to go from one poorly run organization to another poorly run organization. So, you know, I'm going to try to find something to bring me some joy. So we'll see how it goes.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Ryan, the star today is these folks over here in the chat. They've got a lot of questions, man. A lot of questions going over here. So speaking of super chats, we're going to get started off with one. Our guy Remington Jeans is going to kick us off today.
Remington, I'm going to call you Remy. I hope that's okay with you. Remy, thank you so much for the super chat. Very appreciated. I now know what you meant when you said the ball comes off of CJ Carr's and Kenny Michie's hands different. Not that Steve is bad,
just different velocities.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan, I'd love to get your thoughts, obviously, from what you saw from the quarterbacks on Saturday. But, no, it was pretty obvious to people. It's not that Steve's bad, or it's just when Kenny and CJ, especially CJ, throw the ball, it just looks, man, Kenny was a little bit more erratic with it because there were some reads he made where he just wasn't sure where he wanted to go. CJ was a lot more decisive. But when Kenny knows where he wants to go, man, that thing comes out beautifully. And CJ that kid's just got special skills, man. So
I was excited for Kenny Minchie's performance, man, because he had a rough start to the day and then he got better and better and better seemingly every drive after the first like two drives he had. I was really happy to see that. And you know, because Remington, I agree with you. And there was one throw that actually cemented that in my mind. And it was actually an incompletion. There was one play where they were kind of near the end zone and it was Kenny Minchie that had the ball. And Kenny stepped up and then he evaded pressure, spun out, and he threw this ball jumping out of bounds where I could not believe the velocity this dude got with no feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. I was just like, there's juice there, man. There's a whole lot of juice. And yeah, I mean, look, Steve throws a good solid ball, right? Like the ball comes out fine. It's got solid pace, but there were a couple throws. Like I know there was a seam throw to Eli Raritan, I think early, where like the ball just died on him, man. Like it just died.
Yeah. He was getting pressured a little bit, but that ball still has to come out. Even the touchdown ball just didn't, you know, it almost didn't get there in time before Don Shuler got hands on it, you know? And the problem with Steve is Steve gets decent velocity on the ball. The problem is twofold. Number one is Steve can't get velocity on the ball when he can't step into throws the same way, or he's not on the move, which is gaining some momentum. And then he's just got a lot longer release. And so that combination of those two things it impacts where you go. I mean, we saw it on Saturday with that seam to Eli Raritan. I saw it in the scrimmage last week on the throw that got picked off and taken back for a touchdown by Jade Mickey. You know, there's just some throws you're not going to be able to make where, you know, I mean, Kenny, I mean, the ball he threw to Micah Gilbert was a thing of beauty that Kenny threw. And CJ had several. The ball where he throws the outcut over the defender into KK Smith, I'm like, it was an even more impressive throw watching it live because you're just like, that throw shouldn't get made, much less completed, much less with the guy having multiple steps and, you know, to take before he goes out of bounds. And it definitely shouldn't be made by a first semester freshman. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the reality of it.
I was excited to see this, especially the growth throughout the day that Kenny Minchie had. I really was. I mean, they even ran like a quarterback sweep with them on the goal line.
Where sweep.
I was like, okay. All right. I like it. I dig it. Right. So yeah, those two kids, the two younger kids that we're talking about with Carr and Minchie, they just have a different level of easiness as throwers. Like they don't need perfect platforms to get the ball where they need to go. I mean, again, that throw Minchie made where, again, it's an incomplete pass out of bounds. I'm just like, just not a lot of kids that can just whip it out there like that, man. Like the upper body flexibility and just that explosiveness, like that's unique. It's very unique. And the crazy part is that arguably your most talented player at quarterback wasn't even playing in the game, right?
With
Riley Leonard overall.
Right.
And then when Deuce Knight gets here in 2025, I mean, you're about to see a lot of effortless throwers for Notre Dame over the next couple of years.
I just pray that Kenny and CJ are still here because I just want to go through a spring practice with Kenny, CJ, and Deuce together on the same team and have some fun watching that one. Ryan, I got to tell you, the thing about Kenny, too, is like, look, I actually saw someone complaining about how they were unimpressed by Kenny because he didn't start well. And I was like, you know, actually, if you really think about the proper way to evaluate a player, don't you want to see him kind of go through some of it's going to happen. I don't care who you are. You can be Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. You're going to have stretches where you come out of a game not playing well.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this in the past, right? Notre Dame has had quarterbacks in the past where like Tyler Buchner was this way. If Tyler didn't start well, he just couldn't get himself out of that funk. I mean, he really struggled to get himself out of that funk. And with, you know, Jack Cohn had a little bit of that where if he started poorly, it just kind of, that was going to be his day.
DeShone Kizer.
Yeah. And so you want a guy that Like, that's one thing I did like about Ian Book, is if Ian was could be terrible for three quarters, and we saw that at times. We saw that against Virginia Tech in 2019. You know, they were the reason – he was the reason they needed to have a comeback at the end of that game, because he threw two red zone interceptions and just was playing terrible. But when the game was on the line, Ian went and made the plays he needed to make, and they won the game, right? I mean, you want that guy that can bounce back from adversity. And as to your point, Ryan, Kenny showed that. He showed that he can do that on Saturday. He did struggle.
Especially a quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially a quarterback. That matters so much. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that can be that guy when everything's going right. I mean, we talk about system quarterback, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I know everyone hates that phrase, but a system quarterback is a guy that can get it done when everything is right. But the great ones, the guys that can be transcendent or not transcend, they can ascend of things that are around them and be able to be an elevator. Those guys need to come out of adversity, and those guys need to be able to pick up when bad things are happening. And I think that you saw a little bit of that with Kenny. Again, it's just a scrimmage.
And his first throw was pretty good, Ryan. I mean, people forget that. That third and seven curl route that split three defenders was a pretty nice dime. It just got dropped. Yeah. And then he kind of struggled after that. But
yeah,
he did some good things. And as I've said all along, you all saw what we've been talking about all spring. And it's just when CJ Carr throws the ball, John Garcia talked about this. Remember when he had him on our show, Ryan, after the Elite 11 that he saw, the one where CJ was a rising junior.
Yeah.
And he's like, this kid just throws it different. I mean, just basically kind of, and I'm paraphrasing, just like, just the ball comes out of his hand different than everybody else. And everyone, all the fans got a chance to see that from him on Saturday. It just does. And Kenny's very similar. They just, it's a thing of beauty, man. I've said this, and that's my bias as a former quarterback, but that's one of the prettiest things in sports, man, is a spiral. I mean, a really tightly thrown. I mean, just it's like
when they got the low point angle of Kenny's throw to Micah Gilbert in the end zone, where Micah pushed off slightly, like a little fade. That ball was just humming, man.
It was. Yeah, they threw it. It was fun to watch, and there was a lot of other good things from the game on Saturday. But yeah, it was fun to watch. The quarterback room, to your point, Ryan, is really good, and we didn't see the starter on Saturday.
And honestly, in the fall, if the quarterback room is intact, I mean, if you have a four quarterback conversation where Steve Angeli is your least talented quarterback, you're in a good spot, man. Everybody thinks that that is such like a shade thrown, but like legitimately, there are some years in the past where Steve Angeli would be about the most talented quarterback in a room. And now he's the fourth, and it's fourth by a decent margin. Right.
just from God given ability. Correct. Right. Now, Steve's got other things, intangibles, moxie and all grittiness and all that. But when you refer to just physical tools, it's not really close between him and the other quarterbacks. It's really not. It's really not. But yeah, thanks for kicking us off with that question. Let's go to Coleman Smith next, Ryan.
Coleman says, what do you expect all the freshmen to do this year? That can be season statistics and just what they need to improve on individually.
Well, that's a long list. Let's just kind of focus, Ryan, on the guys that we actually think are going to play this year. And obviously, CJ Carr, I mean, for him, I want to see CJ Carr. If we're just talking about what you want to see from him, and I would say something similar if I was talking about Kenny Minchie, but we'll just talk about CJ. You want to see him really continue to show a grasp of the offense, which I don't know if you were able to tell this from the TV copy, Ryan, but it's obvious that CJ goes through more reads than the other quarterbacks. I mean, he goes to his second, third progression much more frequently than the other quarterbacks. He understands eye manipulation better than the other quarterbacks that are there. We're talking about the guys that played on Saturday, you know, but still has a lot more to learn about the offense. There were some throws he didn't make because he didn't quite get there the way he needed to. The seam throw that got broken up by Kingston, that ball's just got to come out a little bit sooner, you know, lead him up vertically into the seam a little bit more instead of bending him inside. And just, it's got to continue to get stronger. But for CJ, it's just about go out there, have a good summer, add more strength, continue to show more feel, and win the number two job and just put yourself in position to be that guy. And, you know, I think that would be the thing I would want to see from him. Running back, Kedron Young, dude, stay healthy. I mean, that's really the thing. Like, you looked pretty good early on before you stayed healthy. And Neas Williams, I mean, it's just with a lot of these guys, Ryan, it's just going to be get more comfortable in the offense. But Aeneas showed on Saturday That kid can play.
Yeah,
it's a good football player, Ryan.
He should have a chance to find a niche in 2024. Again, like, where I'm not talking about being a high volume kid, but why can't Aeneas Williams get some touches during the course of a game? I mean, he's a and the great thing about him is he runs, for being a freshman, which you would expect, you know, a guy to maybe need physical development and continue to add weight. And he is a well-built kid for only being a freshman running back, man. Like, he can go in there and he can run inside. And I think he can move a pile a little bit. He can break some tackles. And we didn't see it on Saturday, but Aeneas is also a really good player in the pass game, right? Like, he can catch the football very well. And I know he's been talking about, I haven't seen him in practice, but he talked about it in his media availability a couple weeks ago about his attention to blocking as well and trying to find a role. I mean, I think he called himself a any way you can do it player or something like that, like a guy that just wants a role on this team in any capacity. So maybe he's a short yardage back. Maybe he's a guy that can do some third down stuff, you know, when you don't want to overload Jeremiah Love in a football game. Maybe it's just against a lesser opponent, he's a guy that gets more high volume. I mean, regardless, I think that there is a role for Aeneas Williams in 2024 if he's able to stay healthy and stay prepared.
Like, maybe return kicks, like we saw on Saturday. You know, he's just a good football player. Receiver with Micah Gilbert, it's just continue to learn the little parts of the game and be more consistent. You know, he'll have some really good reps where he can win at the line and understands what he's doing, and then reps where he just gets completely dominated. And that just comes from consistency and knowing what you're doing and just learning. Now, he's in a really good place in that regard for a freshman. But as far as for a guy, because, like, when you get into the fall, Ryan, it can't be, well, hey, you know, he did well for a freshman. You need to do well. This team is trying to do something. And if you're going to be on the field, they need you to do well, not for a freshman. Cam Williams is just, it's about being more comfortable with what he's doing. I mean, when you watch Cam in practice, Ryan, what you'll see is when he just, okay, he's running a post route or go route, it's just like, whoo, boy, that kid's going to be special. And then it's like, okay, he's running a curl or a stop, and it's like three-quarter speed, lift up at the top, choppy steps, because he doesn't know what he's doing yet, and that'll come. Mm-hmm. But that's the evolution for him, is just get more comfortable with what you're doing and just continue to refine your route technique. Because, Ryan, you saw it in high school. I mean, Cam was not a refined route runner in high school, because everything was built on speed, and one play he's a receiver, the next play he's a running back, the next play he's taking a snap, a quarterback. I mean, they didn't really care. His high school coaches didn't care about, let's teach him the whole route tree. It was, we're going to find ways to get this kid the ball because he's special.
And I mean, even as a receiver, he didn't have to try hard all the time in high school, right? Like, Cam Williams at three-quarter speed was dominating football games in high school football. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, that is the curse, though, of being such a great player in high school, is that when you are just such a better athlete than everyone around you, you don't have to worry about the finer points of playing the position, because at the end of the day, Cam Williams could just run a vertical route in high school and dust you. Like, there's no doubt, right? He could play wildcat quarterback and get the edge against anyone. I mean, that's just the type of athlete he is. So it's the attention to detail stuff. And I, you know, obviously I got to know Cam personally, and he's went on the podcast a couple of times. Like, he's a very well thought kid, right? Where I think that he is going to be completely fine with putting his head down and working. I have no doubts about that. So he'll be good.
Well, and he finished the spring with, you know, five catches. And I mean, his last big spring performance was five catches and a touchdown, you know, against the scholarship corner. So the tools are there. Both of those kids are going to help Notre Dame this year. There's not a doubt in my mind. Jack Larson. I mean, Ryan, you and I have said this. This is one of Notre Dame's best offensive classes in a long time. And everybody saw that on Saturday. I mean, you saw what Aeneas did. You saw CJ. You saw Micah. Media people got to see Cam catch five passes and a touchdown in the jersey scrimmage the week before. Jack Larson had five catches on Saturday.
You know, Jack's a lot more well built than I thought he was going to be.
He's put on good weight.
He's pretty good. Yeah, he looks pretty good. Looks good. Yeah.
You know, I thought Anthony Knapp still needs to get a lot bigger and stronger, but his athleticism flashed on Saturday. You know, we saw Bryce Young is going to be a dude. Sean Sevillano was making plays. Kingston's going to be a dude. Kennedy Urlacher did some good things in the game on Saturday. Like, this freshman class is special. You know, but when you talk about the things they need to improve on, I was kind of going through each guy, and I'm like, look, it's going to be the same thing for each of those kids. Get a better sense of what the system is, and then get more, you know, just continue enhancing the technical aspects of the game. I mean, Kingston, for as good as he looked on Saturday, there were times where he was like, not quite sure of what he was doing. Sure. And you could see it at times. But again, this is practice 15 for that kid. When you get to the end of fall camp and it's practice 40, meaning 15 in spring and then 25 in fall camp, he's going to look even more decisive and better. And that's really what it comes down to, Ryan, is continue to put, you know, put work in the weight room, continue to be in the film room and just be nerds when it comes to learning the offense, and then just, you know, be coachable when it comes to the technical part of the game. But I mean, yep. You saw it all day Saturday, Ryan. You saw it all day. This freshman class is really, really good. There are not, I'll say it again, there were not 10 classes better than this group last year. There just weren't. I don't care what the ranking services said. You guys are already starting to see it. There are not 200 players better than CJ Carr, like on three said. This class is really, really good. And it's just keep doing what you're doing and just continue to learn the offense, get stronger, and be coachable. If they do that, this class will make a big impact this season. Big impact.
Last thing I'll say on Bryce Young is I forgot that he was wearing number 30. Mm-hmm. So he made the tackle where he forced the fumble, right? And I was like, who the heck is that? I forgot what number he was wearing. I'm like, oh, it's Bryce Young. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Nobody hasn't had a defensive end that looks like that in a little bit, man. It's been a while. It's been a little bit since they had someone that looked like that. That's a – we always talk about like the – you know, what does an SEC defensive lineman look like, right? What does a high-level draft pick look like on the defensive end position? Like, that's what it looks like, guys. Physically, that's what it looks like.
But, Ryan, the thing that's exciting – that's an excellent point. Like, what is it like to have a five-star true freshman defensive lineman that's just a physical freak? Notre Dame hasn't had that in a long time. And yeah. But when you watch Bryant throughout the entire game – or Bryce throughout the entire game, you see what – it's the same thing. It's like – but then there's snaps where it's like, you know, he's just not sure of what he's doing, and he just kind of yep. – But that's the thing is, like, when he comes off, though, it's like, holy moly. But what's great about that play is his ability to force the give and then mm-hmm. close on the give and then strip the ball on the give. It's just like, that's just not something you can necessarily coach. You know what I mean? Like, you can coach the read and the responsibility, but there's a lot of defensive ends that you could say, okay, you're going to play it this way. And then when the ball's handed off, you're going to close and you're going to, and they're just like, yeah, I'll try my best, coach, but I can't make that play. And Bryce can, but like, that's the thing about a lot of these kids. I mean, you look at Cam Williams, you're like, that's the kind of kid that SEC teams get with some frequency. That's the kind of kid that went down and played for Mike Denbrock at LSU at wide receiver, you know, and you see the same thing with CJ Carr, and you see this with Kingston Viliamu-Asa. And that's the thing that's exciting about this class is there's a lot of those type of guys. And really the last two classes, there's a lot of those types of guys. I mean, Boubacar Traore, you guys see that kid just moves at a different speed than everybody else on that defensive line. To the point where there's a couple of times I had to rewind it when I was going back over it on TV yesterday. I'm like, did he jump off sides? And you're like, nope. he's just like that twitchy. It's a special group. Christian Gray is another one. I mean, just the length and athleticism that Marcus Freeman's team has added in his two full classes is unreal. And that's where a lot of my optimism comes from when I think about the present and the future of this football team.
And more's coming in the summer when Bronte Johnson gets here and Bodie Cahoon gets here and
Leonard Moores,
Kirby Lambert, like a lot of guys that look like they should be playing SEC ball right now, but athletically. So,
it's going to be fun.
ND Estimate Trucking LLC says between Preston Zinter and Kahanu Kia, who would you say had a better game from a physical standpoint and who had the better game mentally, knowing where to be and what to do?
Well, I think they were similar. I'd say Kahanu was better than Preston's in the two areas by a little bit. I thought Preston was pretty good in the game as well. I mean, he made a lot of plays. I think Kahanu is just a couple years older than Preston and just a little bit more advanced physically. But, you know, in Kahanu, I got to say this, Ryan, and I think you might have heard me say this during the mailbag on Saturday or Friday, but somebody asked me, you know, what's one of your surprises, good surprises? And I said, the fact that a kid that was away from football for 2 years on a mission comes back to the game and is just this instinctive and this physical.
That's just
not normal. And he was impressive. And it overshadowed a little bit how good I mean, there was not a linebacker on Saturday that I didn't think that it impressed me. Even Jalen Seed, who I thought probably had the least effective game of all the linebackers, had three or four highlight type plays. Yep. Like, it was unreal how good this linebacking core was. And Preston Zenner is going to continue to get overlooked. But I'm telling you, that kid can flat out play. Kahano Kia, there are years not long ago, Ryan, like within the playoff era, where we're talking about Kahano Kia starting at middle linebacker for Notre Dame. Right now.
He's good, man.
Right now.
He was another guy that I didn't know what number he was wearing, similar to what I was talking about Bryce Young, where I had to look at the roster and be like, who the heck's 43? Like, I don't know who that kid is, but like, he keeps flying and making plays all over the field. And Kahano Kia, man, he probably was the most decisive and quickest processor of all the linebackers on mm-hmm. Saturday. He saw the game very, very quickly. I mean, there were, cause I mean, he looked like a good athlete to me, right? But I don't think that he's as good athlete as like Drake Bowen and a couple of those guys. But regardless of that, he's getting the spots faster. He's getting the spots faster because he sees the game really quickly. So Kahano Kia, man, balled out. What, he had 12 tackles or something like that? Yes. Like a crazy number on Saturday.
And I think he had seven or eight of them were solos. So it wasn't like he had four solos and eight assisted tackles because he was the second or third guy in. I mean, he was at the – and there was one play he made that he didn't get credit for because there was a penalty on the defense. He blew mm-hmm. – it was that third and 15 screen. They tried to run a screen, and he just blew – if he doesn't make that play, Ryan, that sucker goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously it was a defensive penalty, so they called it back and then got him to third and 10. But that was a heck of a play, and he didn't even get credit for that play because of the penalty. Yep. So he was impressive. But, man, this linebacking core, Ryan, is loaded.
It's like, fast, man.
Don't know who's going to start. Don't know who's going to play where. Don't know who's going to – but, man, it's just like I don't even care because it's like whoever plays is going to be pretty good and pretty athletic. It was fun to watch.
I left leaving the game saying I really liked what I saw from Jaden Osbury athletically, but also I'm not really sure what Jaden Osbury is playing right now. Like, I had no idea at a couple of points where I was like, I don't know what position he's playing.
They said he's basically playing nickel right now.
Weird. Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike it necessarily, but what
Freeman said is he's just that athletic. I mean, so it's not that he's necessarily – so just to clarify, he said nickel, but it's not that he's necessarily playing nickel. It's just basically the way they're using him as a rover is more like how they're using the nickels than it is like when Jack Kaiser's in there, because they just trust him to run with people more, where Jack is going to be more zone and downhill and things like that. And that's saying something, because Jack Kaiser's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah.
And it just says a lot about who he is, man. This is a really loaded group. Really, really loaded group.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We had another super chat from Lucky Ducks 512. By the way, folks, again, super chats get pushed to the front of the line, as these folks know. So just shouting that out there. Lucky Ducks, appreciate you. Thank you so much. What players in position battles set themselves up well for fall camp to make a move? So we're talking about guys that are coming from behind a little bit, is kind of how I'm taking this.
Yeah, I'd look at just anyone that's in a battle. He didn't show me much live. But going back and watching the scrimmage, I thought Emil Wagner did better than I thought he did watching him live. He didn't do anything special, Ryan. He just kind of did his job every snap. And that's been the thing with Emil. It's like, I know he can make some highlight reel blocks, but it's just like it's the not doing the consistency part of it and not getting blown up on some pass pros. I just thought he kind of did his job snap after snap after snap. Now, he did have some issues with Josh Burnham early, and then didn't face Josh a whole lot later, and that helped because he wasn't going against – like people say, like, man, you know, Tosh Baker struggled, and he did have some struggles, and Charles Jagasaw struggled. And I'm like, if you watch the game, I thought Charles Jagasaw played a pretty good game, but he had about five or six bad snaps. Well, when you have a bad snap and you're going against R.J. Oben, Bryce Young, or Boubacar Traore, you're going to look bad.
I want him to look bad right now. I don't want him to be perfect right now. I want him to have his struggles. I do. 100%.
I said this about Micah Gilbert when he struggled in last week's scrimmage, Ryan. I said, that's a good thing for a young kid, because it had come so easy to Micah so far in spring practice. You need those days to remind me, hey, I've got to be more consistent with my kick slide. I've got to be more consistent with my angle. But, you know, I think that Emil did a nice job. I'll tell you the offensive lineman, however, that made the biggest move for me as far as pushing for a starting job again, Rocco Spindler was really good on Saturday. Really good. And we're told he's not even back to full speed. I mean, he not only had the dominant blocks, Ryan, I don't know if you saw what he did to Donovan Heinisch on that first Jeremiah Love touchdown run.
Oh, I did. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. But it was also Rocco was consistent. Because Rocco had dominant highlight reel blocks last year, but then he'd have those really bad plays where he'd get kind of caught, his feet would get caught in mud, and I mean that figuratively, and then he'd try to turn, and he was slow, and he would just have bad reps.
It could be literally as well. His feet could have got caught in mud if it's natural grass, you know what I mean? So,
But like, you remember the Duke game where he was looking inside and then tried to step right, and he was just so out of position, he just falls down?
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, oh my gosh. And it would frustrate me because the good snaps were so good that, like I've said this before, and Ryan, I know you've agreed with this, but, you know, Rocco, when he's better, is good. When he's right, is way better than Pat Coogan. It's just when Rocco's not right, he's way worse than Pat Coogan.
Yeah.
What we saw on Saturday was what you hope Rocco can be, which is not only dominant at times, but just steady. Did his job every play. There were snaps. He didn't dominate, but he did his job. And that was huge for me.
I think we would have such an appreciation of Pat Coogan if he was like the perfect swing player, right? Could play both guards, could play center, like great. I mean, that would be the ideal situation. And, you know, again, not
if he was Trevor Ruland. Remember Rutt? Remember? Yeah. And then sometimes Trevor had to step into the starting lineup and handle
it. Solid. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, you need him for a 3 or 4 game stretch when somebody's out. That's a great way of putting that because Pat is that great team player. He can play center. He can play both guard spots. He's a hard worker. He can go do his job. He's just not very talented. Let's just be honest. He's just and we saw that when he was matched up in one-on-ones against Jason Onye. I mean, there were some really embarrassing snaps in that matchup. And if Rocco can, if we can get this version of Rocco 12 games next year, Notre Dame could have one of the best guard tandems of college football because Billy Shrouth is having a great spring and he had a really good blue gold game, in my opinion.
Well, I just think that we come hard on guys sometimes when they're put in a position that they probably shouldn't be in. Right. When in reality, it's not their fault. Like it's not their fault at all. Right. Pat Coogan is doing everything that Pat Coogan should be doing, and he's maximizing his talent, right? Ultimately, Rocco has higher upside, though. He does. As a guy that's just a pure road grader. I had a scout last year, early in the season last year, ask me about Rocco Spindler. I had a scout ask me. He was like, who's that guy? He's mauling a little bit, but it's just – the up and down can't be up and down. I mean, he's like a seesaw right now, man. Like there's some super highs, there's some super lows. Rocco Spindler needs to find that area of consistency.
Yes.
Right. And he's still searching for it, but man, he's strong, man. He's strong as an ox.
On Saturday, we saw it. Now I don't want to make it seem like that means Rocco's arrived. Cause we don't know, you know, was he that way throughout the spring? We don't know. What I do know is this. He was moved to left guard to compete with Pat. That I know. Yeah. But that was partly because of how well Billy was playing. So I think the way he finished, and he did well in the week before. He did some good things in the week before in the Jersey scrimmage, but wasn't quite as good as he was on Saturday. But he put himself in position to really push for a spot, in my opinion. I think that Deion Colsey, to me, the way he finished the spring – if he can carry it into it. But here's the thing with Deion. It's just I watched him do what he did on Saturday a week after just looking like he didn't want to be out there on the week before. But you watch him play, and this is what he does, Ryan. He has games like Saturday, and it's like, okay, maybe the light's gone on for him. And I know you're not.
I was just going to say this super playfully, okay? I was going to say it super playfully. I hate Deion Colsey. Every time I'm just like, I'm good, I'm done. He just does something where you're just like, all right, I guess I'm back in for a couple minutes.
I thought I was out, and he pulls me back in, you know?
He's pulling you, man. Yes. Deion was really good on Saturday, man. Like, he was really good. What else am I going to say about it? Yep. He was great. I mean, there's just the consistency just isn't there with Deion, but the highs are very good. I mean, they're very good. So if Deion is the best version of himself and he can help your team in 2024, that's great, man. That maximizes talent, and that gives you a much higher floor of being a good football team the more good players you have ultimately, right? I'm still hesitant to buy in, obviously, but it's great. It's great that he had a great end to his spring on Saturday.
Yep, I get it. There's no doubt. Defensively, I believe that Sean Sevilano has kind of played himself into at least a goal line short yardage situation the way he played. I think Jason Onye is not making a move in fall camp, but I think the way that Jason has played all spring puts him in a situation where you can feel better about not having to rely on Howard and Riley so much. Because once you get Gabriel Rubio back, you know what he can do. You've got Jason Onye, plus you got Donovan. You can give Sean Sevilano some goal line short yardage snaps. Maybe instead of 45 snaps and 50 snaps in the game, Howard can get down to 35, and Riley can get down to 35, which means, yeah, you can still use them for 50 in that big game if they're really playing well. But now you can keep those guys fresh because, Ryan, if you're going to win a title, you got to play 16 games. And you can't have Riley Mills and Howard Cross playing 100 to 200 snaps more than Michigan's defensive tackles were last year when they played 15 games compared to Notre Dame's guys playing 13 games. You just can't do it. But you also can't justify taking those guys off the field when there's a big drop-off between the next guys coming in. So the way Jason Onye played, and it wasn't just a couple flash plays here and there. It was even things you might not notice, like anchoring against double teams and holding up at the point of attack against double teams. Where it's like, dude, if he can give you 10, 15 more snaps a game, take some of that burden off those guys. Now, all of a sudden, you have that. Like, here's the thing where I compare Michigan's 2023 D-line, D-tackles to Notre Dame's. And I'll say this. I think Notre Dame's top two kids can absolutely go toe-to-toe with whoever you think the top two is at Michigan. That's my opinion. But the difference is Michigan had four of those guys. Notre Dame had two. You know what I mean? And so now it's like if you can have those two plus Rubio if he's healthy, plus Jason Onye, now all of a sudden, dude, you got yourself a nice rotation and you can keep guys fresh. Could you imagine a fresh Howard Cross in the fourth quarter or a fresh Riley Mills with a fresh fourth quarter against Ohio State last year or this year against Florida State or against Texas A&M or Louisville or USC or in the playoff? That's where you want to be, man. But you can't Al Washington cannot afford to make that decision, Ryan. You know this, if the next group isn't also coming in and being impactful.
Sure. Well, I would say this. I don't know if you agree with this. I would say, in my opinion, I think that Jason Onye was the best defensive lineman on either team on Saturday, but I also think there's an argument that you could say he was the best player at certain points on Saturday, like overall player. I mean, he was good, man. I'm in on Jason Onye.
I don't disagree really with that at all, Ryan, by the way, at all.
I'm in on it, man. I think that this might be a situation too, where even if you're going to keep Howard and Riley Mills in the game at certain points, there might be some times where you do go to a three-man front where you're just like, we got to get Jason Onye in the game, man, and just do a little bit of more versatile things on the second and third level because he's just too good. He was unblockable, man, and not against scrubs, against pretty good linemen, and he's just unblockable, right? I mean, he's another guy that if the light comes on, he is another kid that looks like he should be playing SEC football. Yeah. Like, he doesn't look like a typical guy Notre Dame always has on the interior defensive line. He's a different type of cat, man. Athletically, he's a different type of cat.
So you're playing USC, you're playing Louisville, you're playing a team that wants to throw the ball around or spread the field, and you want to give me a 3-3 look with Onye, Rubio, and Cross, with Kaiser, Drake Bowen, and either Jalen Snead or Kingston at the third linebacker spot, or maybe a Jaden Osbury. Let's roll.
Yep.
Let's roll. I mean, okay, let's do it. I mean, right. I mean, do I want to do that for 70 snaps a game? Not most weeks, but as a change up, as a look to match up against a team that's got some speed on the field, but still wants to run. Yeah. Yeah. Cause now you got playmakers everywhere. And I would absolutely spot on, Ryan. I would absolutely love to see that at times.
I mean, I would even be okay with, at some points, we want to give Howard some breath to
play Riley at nose for a couple reps and put that kid at three tech. Yeah. Like, I want to get him one-on-one in the pass game at times because he's a freaky, twitchy kid, man. He's really talented.
And what we saw yesterday or Saturday, Ryan, was the motor. That was the thing. Like, you know, people forget how just new to football Jason is. He played football for 2 years in high school, and unfortunately his senior year got ruined because of COVID. So that he was kind of behind the eight ball a little bit getting to Notre Dame. Like, I remember talking to Mike Elson, and he was like, when he missed that senior year, he was like, man, I was so disappointed basically that that happened because he was on the verge of really taking off as a prospect. And then that kind of, he went a year without playing football, and that kind of slowed him down a little bit. And he's had some little bumps and bruises and moved from end to, but he's really found a sweet spot where he just plays with a lot of intensity as well, Ryan. And that's the thing is there weren't the – like Jason last year would show a couple of the flash plays that we saw Saturday, and then the next play he's getting driven 5 yards off the ball. That was not the case on Saturday. It was every snap. He was battling every single snap that I saw, and that's a good place to be, man.
And he's one of those first guy off the bus type of dudes, man, because – you should not be 290 and have a six pack. That's not a thing that should happen, but it's a reality that Jason Onye has to live with every single day.
Poor kid.
My wife wish I had one, and I'm only 220. So
there you go.
Anthony Solomon with a super chat. Thank you, Anthony. Thanks for the show today, gentlemen. You are welcome, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate you.
We had another one. Benami came to pay. Play, I meant to say. You both are coach of Notre Dame.
We do pay for play here.
I know. It was supposed to be a joke, but it didn't come off that great, I don't think. We both
much are better in your head than it did come out. Yeah,
it's not a way better in my head. Yeah, both are head coach at Notre Dame. What is each of your guys' quarterback depth chart 1 to 10? 10 being the highest. Rank each quarterback with a number, overall talent, and ability to win a championship.
That's interesting. I mean, we're talking just for 24. Let's just do 24 because, like, I would argue that you could say CJ Carr's ceiling is higher than Riley Leonard's. We could have that debate, but it won't be in 2024. Riley Leonard being healthy in 2024 is absolutely still your best chance to go out and win a championship. I would just contend that CJ Carr's probably your second best chance to go out and win a championship, depending on what kind of growth Kenny Minchie's able to make this offseason. But now I'll go Riley. And when I say, you know, overall talent and ability to win a championship, I'm going to still say I'm going to be at an 8 with him still because I still need to see he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. And I could even, and if I was going to change it, I'd probably slide down to a 7 because of the health. But let's just assume he's going to be healthy. I need to see it, but I'm put him at 8. I need to know that he's still going to be a willing runner after all the ankle injuries he's had. And I think I've said this, Ryan, if Riley Leonard just repeats his 2022 season, this offense is really, really good. They're a playoff team and they might be able to win a game in the playoff. If Riley Leonard can just make normal, you know, senior year growth as a passer, decision maker and passer, I think this team can beat anybody when he's on his game. I really do. So, but I just need to see that consistency as a passer moving forward. But I'd give him an 8. You know, right now I'd give CJ – oh, boy, see, that's a tough one. I'm not quite sure. I'd probably go 6 right now as far as winning a championship this year.
Because he's a freshman.
Yeah, because he's still a rookie, you know, and that's still putting a lot on his shoulders right now. Could that go up by the time we get to fall camp? Certainly. And again, we've yet to see this team kind of really play as – and this is the thing – well, I'll talk about that in a minute, Ryan, because I want to get your thoughts on that. I'd go Kenny at 5 because, again, he's a lot like CJ, but Kenny still isn't quite as decisive as CJ is consistently. You know, that's the thing for Kenny. He's just got to show a little bit more decisiveness with his reads and as a passer. I mean, Kenny will kind of have that off-balance, throw into traffic and the ball gets picked off moment where CJ avoids those for the most part. And so that's where I would have him – ahead of him right now. And then, you know, Steve's a 4. Like, look, with Steve Angeli, you can go out and win me 10 games. You might even be able to get me 11, 12 wins this year in the regular season. But there's a cap on how good you're going to be when you get in the postseason. And that cap to me is the quarterfinals, pending you getting just the perfect matchup in the quarters. He's just not a guy to me that you can win a championship with because I don't think Notre Dame still has the talent to go win in spite of their quarterback the way that a couple of those Bama teams did. Or where, like, the Greg McElroy year where he just He just was a game manager, and they, you know, he made a couple plays here and there, and that's all they need him to do. And he was a great leader, right, and a great team manager. Notre Dame isn't there yet, talent wise. They're getting closer, but they're not there yet. They're going to still need their quarterback to go out there and win them some of those big games. And I just don't think he has that. I don't think he has the ability to process the way you need to be that guy as a quarterback. And I just don't think he has the arm talent to be that guy. He's got the moxie. He's got the confidence. He's got the character and all those things he's got. But at the end of the day,
New Jersey too. So there,
he would have been a two if he wasn't from Jersey, Ryan. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. But I look at him and I'm saying, great kid, great backup quarterback, but as a starter, just not that guy that's going to lead you to the promised land the way that you need.
Yeah, we don't have to spend too much more time on it. I'm the same order, right around the same. I mean, like, maybe I bump Riley Leonard up to an 8.5 instead of an 8, you know what I mean, just to be like slightly different. But I think we see it the same. Look, at the end of the day, if Carr and Minshew are the starting quarterbacks in 2024, let's just say hypothetically, either one of them, then you have a chance to make a playoff, in my opinion. Like, I think that you have that type of upside. There's going to be some growing pains, but it's the typical same first-year starting quarterback thing where it's like, you know, Trevor Lawrence could do it as a first-year starter, but, like, not everybody can. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence had the best D-line in college football. He had two high draft picks at corner. He had a high draft picks at linebacker. He had a veteran offensive line, a second-round draft pick at running back, a second-round draft pick at receiver, and a guy that would have been a first-round draft pick at receiver if he didn't have the devastating injuries in Justin Ross, and he had Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
I mean, that team was perfectly built for an elite rookie to come in and get there. Could Notre Dame have that kind of talent this year with a CJ or a Kenny? It's possible. It's possible, but, like, their games need to continue to evolve. Trevor was 6'6" with a huge arm as a rookie.
Yes.
And those guys don't quite have that. And they don't get to play an all ACC schedule that allowed them to. There are some games that if 2018 Clemson had some of the teams that Notre Dame plays on an annual basis, you know, like, they're going to lose a couple of those games early in their tenure. So it's like, for them, it was kind of like it was for Notre Dame this year with their schedule. If you can get past that A&M game at the beginning, you got a chance to make a run. But they just had such an elite squad around him. And I don't know that Notre Dame will have quite that. And they had to win two games. This Notre Dame team has to win four. Sure. And, you know, but I'll say this. By the end of his freshman year, Trevor was playing at a very different level than he was earlier. And if that happens with Kenny or CJ, then they could do that. But I haven't seen that yet. I would need to see that. Where I, like, with the thing with me and Riley is, I'll say it again, Ryan, and I'm curious if you think, if Riley Leonard simply repeats the 2022 season, not statistically, but just how he played, then this is a top 5-8 offense, and this Notre Dame team's going to have a chance to win a game or two in the playoff. I have no doubt in my mind, barring a rash of injuries.
Yeah. I mean, because I would say that he brought a dual threat dynamic ability. And also one thing that we didn't talk enough about with Riley, as far as that was, he wasn't a very, like, he took chances in 2022, but he wasn't like just complete. Like, he wasn't irresponsible with the football,
right?
Like, he didn't turn the ball over a ton. Like, yeah, he just isn't a guy that took a lot of unnecessary risks. So in that sense of a guy that doesn't turn the ball over much, but is a very talented passer and also a dynamic runner, like, yeah, for sure. I mean, he has all the talent to do that. There's no doubt.
Good question on that one. I enjoyed that one.
Tom Connor with a super chat. Thank you, Tom. What have you heard about the new strength and conditioning coach? How important will he be this summer?
Well, incredibly important, because the summer is kind of that building blocks period where, you know, like, I was talking to a friend of mine and he was talking about, well, I don't know if you can beat a team with this. And I'm like, dude, they're not trying to beat anybody on Saturday. It's a spring game. This is part of the building process of your team. It's like, if Notre Dame had reached their peak as a football team on Saturday, April 20th, for the Blue Gold game, I'd be concerned, because that's not what the team is trying to do. So the strength conditioning program is enormous. Number one, it's a great period where you get to the point where you're able to be fully prepared to handle a hopefully a 16-game season. That part starts happening now. It's a period where you start, you know, getting the position where you can, you know, be a little less injury prone than you have been in recent seasons. And you're also, it's a great period of time, Ryan, where you're building up your mental toughness. And that's one of those things with Lauren Landau that I don't know about him, because like, I love the individualistic approach that he's taken to players and position groups. And I think there's a lot of merit to that, especially in modern times. But at the same time, there's still that team building aspect of it, that where you're really pushing guys beyond this is what Matt Bayless was a master at, is he could push guys beyond what they thought was their breaking point and make them realize you're actually capable of more. And I think that has to happen in the weight room first, and then it leads into it. So it's an incredibly important time. What we've heard is Marcus Freeman's very happy with what we've seen. Now, there's been some like hamstring injuries here and there, you know, but as Marcus Freeman said, this has been one of the most healthy practices. And I can attest to that. I mean, we're out there in the second to last week, the week before the jersey scrimmage, and there was like one guy on the bike. It was Jaden Harrison. You know, there's other guys that have been out all spring, and you had Riley Leonard. But like, for the most part, everybody was kind of ready. Normally by that time in the spring, you've got guys waiting their turn on the exercise bikes because you have so many guys that are over there. And so it's a good place to be. I mean, so far, so good. And guys like him. Because the thing that I was concerned about, Ryan, was would his approach be too nice? You know, because he's been a trainer. Like, you know, not all trainers can necessarily really ride guys, because it's like, man, I'm not, you know, some guys may not like that. But from what I've heard, he's very demanding, but it's in a teachable kind of way. You know, he's not like just let's look at him. He's very demanding and asks a lot. But the kids have responded well to it and like it and like the push they're getting. And he was also wise to keep, you know, like Fred Hale. It's a familiar face, a guy that the players know and trust. So, you know, you still have some familiar faces around. So, I mean, so far, so good is all I'll say. We're still in April, Ryan, so we don't even have a clue what the full product's going to look like yet. We need to get through a season and see how it goes, for at least in my opinion, before we get there.
Right. Well, I mean, the only other feedback I would add is that I have spoken to a couple parents of past recruits that have been very high on the attention to stretching and the pre-workout aspect of the workouts as well. And I think that could, in theory, reduce injuries that we've seen in the past, at least the soft tissue stuff. So I think that is a positive sign, if nothing else.
Absolutely.
We had Caleb Williams safe space. Why is that a thing? Thank you so much for the super chat, though. Very appreciated.
I kind of like it, though. Not going to lie.
I just want to say thank you for IB, and man, I'm excited about the athletes I saw in the spring game. I no longer have to watch other teams and feel envy about the kind of athletes they had on the field.
I mean, I never thought about it like that, but it's a great way of putting it. And that's kind of what Ryan was talking about earlier with like Bryce Young. You know, you'd watch like the Georgia or Bama spring game and you're like, man, I wish we could get a 6'6", 250-pound physical freak on the edge for a
week. We have a Michael Williams now. Right. Thank you so much.
Exactly.
I appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah. Man, I wish Notre Dame had an elite 5-star quarterback that could put the ball wherever he wanted to. You know what I mean? Oh, they've got a couple of those guys maybe. Man, I wish Notre Dame could be without their All-American cornerback and put a 6-foot-plus long-rangey 4-4 kid at cornerback like right. Christian Gray. And you're like, oh, okay. You know, and it's like, man, I wish that I could watch a linebacking core that can play sideline to sideline on all three, you know, first team, second team, and third team. You know, it's like, yeah, we kind of saw all that on Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, Notre Dame's got linebackers can line up in the slot and run with slot receivers. You know what I mean? And it's a – man, I wish Notre Dame had a 6-foot-plus Southern kid that was just an elite, you know, productive wide receiver. Oh, wait, that's Jaden Greathouse. You know, I mean, it's just – it's nice to see. And here's the thing I was going to say earlier, Ryan, and I wanted to get your thoughts on, and I'll bring it up now, and you can respond to it as well as this. I was very encouraged by what I saw from the offense on Saturday. Very. I mean, they won some battles, lost some battles, but they competed. They showed some athleticism. They showed playmaking ability. And we didn't see Riley Leonard. We didn't see Jadarian Price. We didn't see Kedron Young. We We didn't see Bo Collins. We didn't see Jordan Faison. We didn't see Jaden Harrison. We didn't see Cam Williams. We didn't see Mitchell Evans. Like, think about that. That's a lot of really good football players in that group I just talked about, Ryan. A
lot of explosiveness, too. I mean, that's two of your most dynamic speed guys out there, too. I mean, Jaden Harrison might be the fastest guy on the team. I mean, at least he's in the conversation,
right? He certainly
is
on offense.
Right. Yeah. Cam Williams is obviously a guy that can really get up and go. I mean, and then
Jadarian,
yeah. And then Mitchell Evans was, although not dynamic, like as far as an athlete, he was the best tight ends in college football when he got hurt last year, right? So, I mean, yeah, you have a lot of options on the field. I think that that's – I would even take it a step further for Caleb Williams' safe space, and I would say not only is it just that you see the athletes, you see the depth of athletes, which I think is the different part. I mean, Notre Dame's always had athletes. I mean, you talk about Will Fuller and C.J. Procise and, you know, obviously the more recent years of, you know, Michael Mayer and some of those guys, right? But they didn't have – enough of them, right? Like one guy gets banged up, one guy gets injured, something happens, and then you're left with depth that just isn't dynamic and don't have guys. I mean, there's a reality where you're down a couple of your top weapons this year and you still have weapons. That's a differentiator between the great teams in college football and the good teams in college football, is that they have depth that when someone's out, someone's injured, doesn't matter because they have a next guy up approach because they have that much talent.
And when you're listing off all the players that are really talented that you're missing, you can forget a guy because I forgot Jaden Thomas.
Right.
You know, I mean, so that's the thing. And you talk about Jaden Harrison and he might be the team's most fastest player. And he was an All-American kick returner last year. And those things are all true. But do you know that, and I know this is a rhetorical question because I know Ryan knows the answer, but Notre Dame's kick returner last year averaged 4 yards more per return than Jaden Harrison. But he didn't have enough returns to qualify for the national ranking. He would have been second. Right. And the point being, like you said, you combine that with the guys that are playing that are explosive, Jeremiah Love, Jaden Greathouse, Chris Mitchell, Deion Colsey when he's right, you're like, man, that's a lot of freaking talent. Because here's the thing I'll say, Ryan, like in the past, in 2021, if Kevin Austin doesn't play well, the receiving corps is not going to be that good. In 2022, if Lorenzo Styles doesn't have that sophomore surge we hope for, receiving corps is not going to be very good. This year, you cannot have Bo Collins. You cannot have Jaden Harrison for most of the spring. You cannot have Jaden Thomas for most of the spring. You cannot have Cam Williams at the end of the spring. You cannot have Jordan Faison all spring. You cannot have Mitchell Evans. And you can still look at that and say, well, there's a lot of pass catchers out there that can play.
Right.
It's a whole different universe, man. And they actually know how to play. They're actually taught how to play.
I think it's exemplified by the returners. If we take the special teams for a second, there was a couple years ago where we're talking about returners where it's like Chris Salerno, and no, all due respect to Chris Salerno, but like he's one of your better options as a punt returner, right? Like 2 years later, we're talking about like Jadarian Price, who averaged 30 whatever yards per return in his limited opportunities, is not going to be your kick returner. Like it's going to be Jaden Harrison that you brought in that's a 30 plus yard guy. And then there's options at punt returner and kick returner. And because you know why there's options? You have more athletes than you've had a couple years ago. I mean, that's just flat out what it is. You put the ball in athletes' hands and they go make plays. Notre Dame hasn't had enough depth in recent years, and they have more depth.
Well, it's like last
skill
year.
Spots.
If Chris Tyree doesn't turn into a playmaker, who's your playmaker? Wide receiver. You got solid guys, it's such a different universe, man. And it's a great place to be. It really is.
Yep. Andy Melton fan. Melton, you are emptying your pockets today, sir, and we appreciate you. What two teams from the past 20 years would be most entertaining matchup? # even Joe Milton and BK are nice to parking attendants. What does Joe Milton have to do with this? This is very okay. All right. Is that a shot at me because I don't like Joe Milton? I don't know. I don't get that one.
I love Nathan, but I don't always get his references. What two teams from the past 20 years would be the most entertaining matchup? 20 years, so that would go back to 2003. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a year away from the matchup that I want to see. I still think that, you know, Miami 2001 and LSU 19 would be that, but that's not enough.
Oh, we're talking about all college football? For some reason, I was thinking two Notre Dame teams. Yeah.
Well, we can do that one too, Ryan, because we had a question kind of like that the other day. The mailbag, but so last 20, so it'd basically be 2004 to 2023. That's actually 20 seasons. So I would probably, you know what? I'm actually going to go with two teams that were back-to-back champs. I'm going to go with 18 Clemson against 19 LSU. I would like to, you know, so since we can't go with Miami's D from 01, I would have really liked to see that 2018 Clemson defense against the 2019 LSU offense. I mean, there's some other teams that had dynamic players. Maybe you could go back to, say, 19 LSU against maybe like 08 Florida. You know, yeah. maybe a team to think about. 04 USC would have been a fun one to watch against 19 LSU. But I do know one consistent. It's LSU 19 is going to be as part of this equation for me, Ryan. But you know what? Now that I think I've thought through all the potential teams, Ryan, I'm going to go 04 USC and 19 LSU would be, I think, the most entertaining matchup. Could you imagine that? You've got Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Thaddeus Moss, and I'm drawing a blank on the other receiver.
Terrace Marshall.
On one side on offense. And then on the other side on offense, you've got Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lendell White, and Jarrett Mike was Williams, on that team. Right?
Was that Mike Williams on that team?
I'm going to go look. 2004 stats. I think Mike Williams might have been on that team. But you definitely had Dwayne Jarrett on that team. You had Dwayne Jarrett. Mike Williams is not on that team. You had Dwayne Jarrett on that team in 04. You had Steve Smith on that team in 04, an NFL player. You had Reggie Bush as your third leading receiver. Dominique Byrd was on that team as well. So, and then of course, former
St. Louis Ram, Dominique Byrd.
And then you had two great running backs on that team. So that team was loaded. That team was absolutely loaded. So now that was the team that won the championship the year before by blowing out Oklahoma. I'm not talking about the 05 team that was banged up. I'm talking about the previous year's team that won it all. That would be a fun, fun, fun matchup. That would be the most entertaining for me, in my opinion.
I would have liked to see 2005 Texas against 2019 LSU for the Vince Young on one side, Joe Burrow on the other. That would have been some offensive fireworks. Well, and that Texas team was really good on defense too. So that would have actually been a decent matchup with LSU.
Like eight drafted guys off that, like Michael Huff
and Aaron Williams and all those guys. They were good, man. They were good.
Well, and what was the most entertaining? I thought the most entertaining game LSU played in all year in 2019 was actually against Texas. That was a very entertaining game early in the year with Sam Erlinger. So yeah, that'd be an interesting one as well. Be a very interesting one. So those would be some good games. Some people mentioned Bama. Honestly, Nick Saban had some great teams a bit, but like none of his championship teams to me were just like these generational, holy moly, they're going to be remembered forever type of teams. You know, I definitely don't think 09 was that way. I mean, the 11 team, some people will look that way, but I'm like, they look terrible losing at home to LSU early in the season and then only won a title because they got a rematch. They didn't win the SEC that year.
Right.
You know, you had 12 Bama was pretty good, but even then, I don't know that I think that team could stack up with those other two teams. I'm just not taking AJ McCarron in that matchup against those teams. 15 Bama with Jacob Coker is not. 17 Bama was definitely not. 2020 Bama is probably the closest to it, but I still kind of put an asterisk by them because it's the COVID year. It just was such a weird year, you know? So great teams, but I don't know if I would say, like, they were the best program, I'll say, that I've seen in my lifetime over a decade period. But I don't know that any of their individual teams were like that one generational squad that you saw like certain teams have in different, like, you know, Florida State 99 or that went, you know, wire to wire number one, you know, or, you know, LSU 19 and Florida USC 04, Texas 05, you know what I mean? I just don't see that from those teams. And definitely not Auburn 2010 is not in that category either because they had a great player. They weren't a generational team. They should have lost the national title game if they
that team was a farce.
It was a fluky season. Cam was great, and it was just not. It was kind of like this past year. There just weren't any great teams in 2010. I mean, that was a rebuilding year for Bama. They lost like three games that year. Bama did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember watching. I think it was Michigan State bowl game. And I'm like, this is going to get ugly.
And I'm trying to remember that Auburn team because, like, who was like Nick Fairley was really good on that team that year, right? And Michael Dyer was a freshman, I think, right? A running back.
He was pretty good that year. Yep,
it was good. Yep. It was good.
No, it was a good team, but it just wasn't like, oh wow, that
it's
team
probably. I felt like that team is probably like an 8-4 team without Cam Newton though. Like I thought Cam was that instrumental to that team.
It was Darvin Adams, Terrell Zachary, Emery Blake, who are nice players. Yeah, Cody Burns, you know, I said Michael Dyer.
Yep.
You know, the Josh Burns, Zach Etheridge, Nico Thorpe, Craig Stevens, Mike McNeil, Desmond Washington, Darren Burtz, El Toro Freeman. I mean, there's some solid players on there, but, Fairley was a dude that year at D-Tac.
Oh, Fairley was great.
Really freaking good. And then they had Cam on the other side of the ball. And that's what did it. I mean, they had one generational talent and then a really good defensive lineman and just a lot of veteran solid players. And, you know, it's a good team. It's a good team that almost lost to Darren Thomas in the national championship game at Oregon. Yeah. So
for former Oregon great Darren Thomas. Yeah, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.